Whenever we buy things, the cost is only one factor in our decision making. Another factor of which we might not be that aware is our image. Certain features of the places we live, features of the clothes we wear, all of these factors help us protect our image. And conversely, other styles simply do not express us. We even talk that way about the matter. Sometimes when a friend asks an opinion about clothing or furnishings, we'll say, "It's not really you." So whatever our style, we always seem to know it when we see it. And our God is also very style conscious. When our God expresses himself in this world, he is very choosy about the way he does it. The image must be just right. And today's readings tell us something about the style of God. It is connected very closely with the Spirit of God. Whenever God chooses to express himself, God always uses his Spirit. And so God's chosen servant, Isaiah told us a moment ago, is always the one upon whom God places his Spirit. And that gift of the Spirit will always give the servant, the disciple, a new style, a new way of expressing his relation to God. And through the Spirit, our God wanted to give his chosen people a new image. Through the deeds of justice that they would work out, the surrounding nations would discover and learn to appreciate the living God as a God of justice, because the chosen people of Israel would express it. And we heard in Isaiah today, as in all scriptures, that justice is never really only an abstract kind of virtue. Opening up the eyes of the blind is both physical and metaphorical activity. There are for people all kinds of blindness, prejudice, neglect, selfishness, anything that would keep us from seeing the needs of those people who ride this planet with us. Opening up our eyes translates into persuading and evangelizing, informing, educating those people who have those kind of blind spots. And as a result, eventually they too will say, "Now I see. Now I see that our God does want justice," as the Campaign for Human Development so eloquently states, "If you want peace, first work for justice." Freeing prisoners undergoes the same kind of expansion. There are for people today all kinds of prisons. Some prisons are of our own making. Other prisons are imposed on us by other people. Even life itself is able to paralyze us at times. But it is the style of our God and of all the servants of God to tear down prison walls, to free those people who are incarcerated by self-pity, by despair, and selfishness. That kind of freedom is also the style of our God. It makes the image of our God clear to other people who see us in real life. And God's style comes through most clearly in Jesus, who is the servant of God, the Son that he sent. A family resemblance that is so striking that the Father is able to say, "You are my beloved Son. and on you my favor does rest. Now, the occasion of that statement was the baptism of Jesus described in the gospel today. And the scene we just heard about will sometimes puzzle Christian people right down the centuries. We recognize that we are baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Yet we also know that Jesus was sinless. But we now understand better that baptism is the gift that makes us the people of God, his children of the Father. And that is so manifest in the baptism of Jesus. God's gift of the Spirit identifies him as the one whom the Father now sends to express his love and his Spirit to the world, to show forth the passion for justice, the continuing search for freedom, the desire for love that will always characterize the servants of God. That is the style of our God. And to us people, baptism, the Spirit, brings additional gifts. Where we people today would tend in life to hold back from doing what we know we should, the Spirit will always give us the encouragement we need. Whenever we are weak, the Spirit will always give us the power that we seek. And when we are speechless, the Spirit will always give us the right words we need. In other words, whatever we lack, the Spirit will fill out. And what we lack, we most often discover in our weakest moments, when our spirit is at its lowest ebb. That is the heart of the mystery. We discover it only as the years go on that our God in spirit is most present to us, seeking to break through into the core of our heart, trying to use us as his disciples for his purpose. Only when we are at the lowest ebb, especially when we are at that stage, weakest. And that is true in prayer, in worship, in family life, and all the other areas of our lives. And sometimes when things are going very badly for us, particularly when we feel almost immobilized, because we cannot anticipate the ultimate solution. We don't see how we're going to possibly get out of this predicament. And that is what is true of you and me when we come here to worship, when our feelings are at their very lowest that we've ever felt. It is only God then who is able to change that. If we are open enough in prayer and worship and song to pray, "Yes, Lord, I will take the next simple step toward light and meaning and healing, and I will depend upon you, if only you will show me the way." If we, in prayer, say that and really mean it, say it, pray it unconditionally, it is then that the resurrection power and the grace and the guidance of our Lord will come to us, and we will receive what we seek. In our very lostness and brokenness and weakness, we experience then the healing strength of God closing in on us. God never loves us more than when we feel most unloved. He is never more present to us than when we feel that he is most absent. And when we are most down, it is then that the temptation to give in to our feelings is there rather than to give in to the call of our God. And to depend upon our feelings, then, instead of depending on God, means that people will be heard saying, I stopped praying because I don't feel like it anymore. Or I stopped going to church because I don't feel like it anymore. I stopped all this business of trying to become the leaven, the yeast in society, because I don't have the strength to do it anymore. If only we would understand that the very best of our prayers are those that are offered and said at the very moment when we don't feel like praying. If only we would realize the most significant good works we perform are always those we do when we do not feel like doing them. It is precisely then that our God, in his mysterious way, is calling us to move forward from spiritual childhood on to mature adulthood, calling us to let go of childhood, taking away and leaving behind the glory feeling, the candy reward that at one time we knew and depended upon. We must accept the call to grow. And that is why our God does come to us in our sorrow, in our time of pain, and our time of need. Right at this moment, there are people here who are feeling the tragic meaning of death in their lives, or the serious illness that is struck without warning. That's why it's so important to grasp that it is in moments like these, not just in the holiday time of the year, moments when we feel most helpless, that our God comes to us to identify with us in those times of weakness and pain. That is the mystery of the memories of Jesus. The resurrection power of Jesus brings to us our victories that we look toward. Victories over loneliness and despair and sickness and death. That is why the gospel is called the good news. To discover over the years that above all in the moments when we are most in need but don't feel it, then our God is closest to us. When we are most abandoned, he is nearest. When the patterns of our lives have fallen apart, that is when his healing resurrection power is most available. It is then that the Lord says to each of us, a bruised reed I shall not break, a smoldering wick I shall not quench. I, the Lord, have called you. I, the Lord, have grasped you by the palm of your hand.